Okay.
Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the blessed guy who's the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. As always, we love to send folks over to our Epiclesis website. The address is epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You can learn more about Epiclesis. And we're talking today with a very dear friend of mine and a favorite guest here at Ancient Future Faith, Dr. Teresa Gardner. Hi, Teresa. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Chris. It's so good to be with you again.
You're a dear heart. Thank you for carving out the time to be with us. How's the weather over there in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, summer has arrived, and so it's good.
Right.
You know, we've had a lot of rain, but it's pleasant. As a matter of fact, in case you hear little noises, I'm sitting outside.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully this is a little clearer reception for us as we chat
okay. Today
about a wonderful topic.
Oh, I can't wait. Listen, folks, we had a wonderful retreat where we invited this amazing young man from Israel over to talk about finding Jesus in the tabernacle. And Teresa, you were a wonderful part of that as well. It was a terrific retreat, don't you think?
Oh, it was, and such a blessing to be a part of it. I loved everything about it, and it was just a beautiful gathering of people that had come together to learn more about it. It was very precious.
Yeah, we had a very big crowd, and it was something that we really put on the dog for, so to speak. We spent a lot of time recreating in life-size proportions the materials and artifacts and furniture and so on that you would find in the Old Testament Moses tabernacle. And Teresa, it's something that's near and dear to your heart. You go to, goodness, you go to Israel, what, 17 times a year or something like that? We're going to have you come back in October to talk about finding Jesus in the feasts. And we thought that would be a really neat follow-up to our retreat called Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle. Now, folks, we're gearing up, and I want you to really lean in and listen to this. We're gearing up for a follow-up retreat coming this fall to Sacramento on October 21st and 22nd, called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. It's going to be an amazing retreat. It's at the Christ the King Retreat Center. Teresa, you're going to be our guest. Let's give everybody some details about this retreat, because they're going to want to mark their calendars for this one. Teresa, you've been teaching and thinking about and talking about and living out in many ways these wonderful things for many years, but there's something about the Jewish feasts that has a really special place in your heart, yes?
Yes, very much so. And because we see Jesus in the feast, Chris, if I may, you know, when Moses went on to Mount Sinai, God was revealing himself to them, and he taught them how to live. You know, he gave them commandments and a lot of other regulations and instructions so that they would understand what living as the people of God is supposed to be about. He gave, I think, 25 chapters, I mean, what we would call chapters, of explicit instructions on how to build that tabernacle so they would understand how to come to worship him. And because be careful that you build it exactly like it was shown to you, because it's a copy of
right.
what is in heaven,
right.
we're told. And then the third main category that the Lord revealed about himself and what he wanted his new people to know is how to know him and celebrate him in the feast. And what's important about this is that they're called the Feast of the Lord. You know, we don't think of them as being the Feast of the Lord, but in simple terms, the Lord established these seven feasts, eight if you want to count Shabbat as a feast, but we look at them as seven, and they reveal in a particular order and timing God's plan of salvation, redemption, and actually how we'll spend our entire lives with him forever through these feasts. And of course, just like the tabernacle, first of all, let me say, they're God's feasts, and he invites us to come to them.
All right.
You know, so what do you want to do? If God's saying, hey, I've got this feast, and I really want you to come and fellowship with me and learn about me and see what I've done for you, you know, don't we want to come?
Sure.
I mean, you know, and then when we realize also that just like every detail in the tabernacle pointed to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, the lover of our soul, that every detail of it did that. It's the same way with the feast. All of the feasts either have been, are being, or will be fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. And all of that, of course, because we have relationship with God through Jesus Christ, applies to our own lives in some way and affects our own walk with the Lord.
And I think that it's something that a number of evangelicals might not think about. So that's all Old Testament stuff. That's the Old Covenant. We don't need to know about that. And in some ways, I guess, in an odd way, that might be right, except that these things provide such a beautiful insight into our new covenant through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, we should say that there are three primary feasts of the seven that you mentioned, and we're going to talk about those in a little more detail just now, but I want to sidestep just a moment and mention the ministry that you have founded and been a part of for so many years, because it's going to play an important part in our retreat coming this October on the 21st and 22nd, that's a Friday and Saturday, at the Christ the King Retreat Center in Citrus Heights. Teresa, tell folks just a little bit about your ministry and what it does and what kind of activities you're involved in, because we're going to be having some of your friends come with you in October.
Yeah, we're really excited. They're really excited too, Chris. Well, you know, when I came to the Lord, I had no idea what the Lord had in store for me, as I don't think any of us do, but it's always glorious. And the Lord has led me to be involved with worship and the arts. And in particular, using dance as an expression of worship and showing God's word and sharing God's word with others. So really as a means of communication, of sharing the Lord. First we give to the Lord, and then we give to his people, and we make the Lord known through the visual movement aspect of dance. So I've been doing this for about 40 years and have had just such a blessing in this journey of training and teaching young people. As a matter of fact, some of the dance ministers, and I call them dance ministers because they're ministering the word of God, that will be joining us for this retreat began as itty bitty kiddos, you know, in the worship dance classes.
I love it.
And now there are teachers. Now there are teachers,
yeah.
You know, so they've grown up understanding that dance just isn't an art, but it's really a gift from God. It says to praise his name with dancing. You know, it's a way that we can experience the Lord. So we are bringing them. You know, God made all of our senses. And so I would just like to say that the world is so filled with access to information, Chris. What we need is experience with
okay,
the Lord.
What
we need is relationship with the Lord. So when I think of a retreat like this, my goal isn't just to give information, although I'd love to teach on the feast. But, you know, how will we encounter Jesus Christ through this retreat? You know, how will we experience what the Lord has done in the feast? And what does that mean to us as individuals? You know, I think the Lord always has more to reveal to us. And so my desire is that this be kind of an interactive retreat, in the sense that I just don't teach and everybody sits there, but that we all have the opportunity to be engaged with the Lord in some way during this, because I think that's how God has made us.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Teresa Gardner. I'm so proud to say she's my friend and a mentor to me, too, and kind of a pastor to me. We've never talked about that, have we, Teresa? But we kind of are pastors for each other in some ways. And it's a delightful friendship that stretches back to our time at the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies. Teresa is the founder and director of the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm very excited to say she's coming back to Sacramento in October for a special retreat called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. Now, the dates are October 21 and 22. There's a minimal cost. You can find all the information on the Epiclesis website. As we think about the retreat, Teresa, we couldn't possibly cram in all the feasts, right? You mentioned a minute ago that there's seven of them, but we can't do all seven. We wanted instead to concentrate on the three primary feasts of the children of Israel. Want to talk about those just a little bit and maybe give us a little information about what you're going to be teaching on and how we can experience them in this retreat?
Sure. You know, when you and I had spoken earlier, you mentioned that we might be sharing a little bit more in depth on each one of these as we have a few of these conversations. But I want to refer also to something you said earlier. Was seeing this, one of our narrations, actually. It says, as Gentiles, often the church has made these Jewish feasts. But the word tells us in Deuteronomy that the Gentiles are to rejoice with his people. It's very clear right there in the word that these were God's feasts and that we are all invited. And as I began, let me quote from Psalm 89, if I might. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so as you mentioned, there's seven, and they're grouped into groups of three.
Okay.
There are the spring ones, which are Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Then you have kind of a summer one in May, June, that's Pentecost, which we just experienced in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the fall feasts, which are trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. So of those seven, when we come together to worship, we'll be focusing primarily on Passover, on Pentecost or Shavuot, and then tabernacles. So on Friday night, which will happen to be Shabbat, we'll mention how that's kind of a mini feast every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start with Passover, because Passover, as you know, that of course is when they were in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then, you know, they were required to select a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and that they would be safe if they stayed inside under the blood from the plague of death, the 10th plague that was going to come and kill the firstborn. And after that, they were set free and they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness for a while. But that was their release from bondage. And it's called Passover. The Lord passed over those that were under the blood of the Lamb. And you know exactly where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Those that were under the blood of the Lamb were kept alive. Well, it's very clear to us when John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The blood of the Lamb is on the doorpost of our hearts, and we come through the door, who is Jesus. He says, I'm the door. We come in, and we are safe in him. And so Passover also symbolizes redemption and salvation and deliverance from bondage. But for us, it would be like the cross. This is it. Jesus died to take away our sins and set us free from sin and death. So Paul tells us Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And isn't that what we do every Sunday or every time we come together?
Yes.
We come to keep the feast. And so let's talk about first things first, shall we? Passover is the first. You don't go anywhere until after you've received Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord. We have to receive the salvation that he has provided for us by his death on the cross as the Passover lamb. To the day, to the hour, Jesus died as the Passover lamb. Mm. That was exactly when God said to keep the feast. In the first month, on a particular day, they sacrificed those lambs at 3:00 in the afternoon. Not a bone could be broken. Not one of Jesus' bones was broken. And it even says in Mark, therefore the scripture is fulfilled. They had to select the lamb, observe it for 5 days to make sure there was nothing wrong with it so it would be suitable for the sacrifice. Well, Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 10th of this particular month. The first month, by the way, of the Jewish calendar, the very first thing that happens is the Feast of Passover. And he was questioned. Was he not observed? Was he not challenged? during those days that he came into Jerusalem after the triumphal entry by the leaders. And then what did Pilate say? I find no fault in him.
That's right.
You know, he was even by the Roman pronounced no fault, no blame. So he did die. He was sacrificed as that substitutionary atonement for us. His blood was shed so that we could now have the righteousness of Christ.
Marvelous.
And yet it was fulfilled once and for all. No longer, as it tells us in Hebrews, does this need to keep happening. It's happened once and for all. Going back to the tabernacle, it says that Jesus, our great high priest, took his own blood into the heavenly holy of holies, put it on the Ark of the Covenant. Once and for all, we have been atoned for because of that event that fulfilled the Passover feast. And I just have to tell you this one more thing, because you know I love this. The lambs. Where did the lambs come from? Josephus writes that there were over 250,000 lambs sacrificed at this particular Passover when Jesus was fulfilling once and for all the feast that was spoken of thousands of years before. Well, these Passover lambs were raised right outside of Bethlehem in those fields of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Those were temple lambs. They were watched to make sure they didn't have any blemishes, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, now they think Jesus was born during this first month of Nisan.
Mm.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So here we have Jesus born as the Passover lamb, where the Passover lambs were being raised in Bethlehem, Bethlehem meaning house of bread. So we have the one who gave his life as the bread of life. So you have this one that was born to be the Passover lamb in the place where the lambs were raised. And then he fulfilled being the Passover lamb on the day of the Feast of Passover. So that is the shortest version I know how to give you of that one.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Teresa Gardner. She's my buddy, and she runs the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts in Charlotte, North Carolina. Best of all, she's coming to Sacramento this October 21st and 22nd. That's Friday and Saturday at the beautiful Christ the King Retreat Center. As a follow-up to last fall's wonderful retreat on finding Jesus in the tabernacle, this fall we're doing an information and experience-packed retreat called Finding Jesus in the Feasts, and Teresa is our very special guest. Teresa, we don't have a lot of time left, so that means we're going to have to unpack the other two major feasts in some subsequent conversations, but let's do this little teaser if we can. You're not coming by yourself, and you're going to be bringing some of your colleagues and dancers, and somehow you're working in the visual arts and the dance arts into this retreat. It sounds like a very multi-sensory opportunity.
Yes. What I'm thinking for Friday evening is we're focusing on Passover. Well, what happened on that Last Supper?
Mm-hmm.
So may we not even experience the Lord through this type of Passover meal. But what happened then is for now. So we'll be focusing on that as we too have been delivered from bondage forever and ever. And the dance ministry, we have several pieces that we want to tell God's story with. And some of these will be us telling the story through the movement arts, but some of it will be the people participating. Now, don't be afraid. I'm not going to ask people to get up and dance or anything like that.
I was starting to get afraid. Okay, we don't.
No. Don't be afraid. So we're just talking about interacting. Now, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, people don't realize it, but that represents also the wedding of God to his people, the betrothal of God to his people, as well as the sending of the Holy Spirit for what we know as in the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then tabernacles, we don't have time. For many years, I celebrated it actually in Jerusalem.
Wow.
Let me just say, it's a feast of protection, of the Lord reminding us of how he took care of his people in the wilderness all those years, how he provides everything that we need, how he shelters us, protects us. But it's commanded for 7 days that you have to be joyful. Now, we don't have 7 days when I'm coming to you, but it's a festival of ingathering. It represents the final harvest of all the people in the nations in the world coming to the Lord and us worshiping him together forever on his holy hill. But there's so many things. I can't wait to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles because I've been living that one for, you know, decades.
I can't wait. Teresa, you're bringing a bunch of folks with you right now. Yeah, the plan is to bring about 10 of your dancers, and it's going to be not only a lot of information, but as you were saying earlier, we really want to focus on the experience of it. It's going to be a visual delight. It's going to be an audible delight. People are going to have some things to listen to as well as look at, and I'm sure there will be some creative opportunities for people to participate as well. I'm really looking forward to it. And you said earlier that your dancers and group participants are looking forward to it as well, yes?
Absolutely. You know, these, and at this point, they're all young women. They love the Lord, and they just want to share the Lord with the gifts that the God has given them in a way of ministering the Word of God to His people to build them up and to help them know the Lord more. But if I may say so, they're really good, too.
Well, I don't doubt it, Teresa, because anything you're associated with is always first class and wonderful. Folks, you've got to put this down on your calendars, okay? We're talking about October 21st and 22nd. That's Friday and Saturday at the beautiful Christ the King Retreat Center in Sacramento. The cost includes a delicious lunch. And oh my goodness, what an experience it's going to be. You can find all the information on the Epiclesis website. That's EPICLESIS.org. And let me also say this. If you want to learn more about Dr. Teresa Gardner and her ministry in Charlotte, North Carolina, you can also find a link there as well in the story about finding Jesus in the feast. So I encourage you to learn more about the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts. Teresa, when's your next trip back to Israel?
Well, I am scheduled to go back to the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall because it's the 40th anniversary of the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, and I was a part of that for many years. So, you know, I'd like to go celebrate with them again. So I have my ticket, and actually, Chris, I'm flying from Israel to Sacramento directly to come.
I was going to say, the timing of that is that you'll be celebrating Feast of Tabernacles in Israel and then coming straight to Sacramento and helping us celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. What fun is that? I can't wait. Well, Teresa Gardner, thank you so much for joining us. You're just such a dear friend, and I'm grateful for the time. And let's make sure that we carve out at least two more conversations about this wonderful retreat coming this October on the 21st and 22nd. That's Friday night and most of the day Saturday at the beautiful Christ the King Retreat Center, because we didn't get to talk about Pentecost very much or Tabernacles, so we need to schedule some more conversations together. Want to do that?
That sounds great. Chris, can I just share? I just came across this Thanksgiving to the Lord. It's a prayer.
Of course.
And it says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us holy day customs and seasons of happiness for the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the light of the world." Thank you for this opportunity to come unto the Lord with his people and worship him together, Chris.
Bless you too. Folks, you've been listening to another edition of Ancient Future Faith with today, my friend, Dr. Teresa Gardner. We're talking about a retreat coming to Sacramento Friday and Saturday, October 21 and 22. Find all the information on the Epiclesis website. In the meantime, I'd love you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.